www.attableek.com, The Reviver of Iman.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, friends and elders, I'm sure you will agree with me, it is better for a student to have an average pass in all his subjects than to excel in some and fail in others. There's a student who has an average pass, two siblings, one comes with a pass in English, in maths, in history, in geography, in science, and then there is the other sibling that comes with distinction in English and failure in maths. Which is better? Without doubt, the better would be to have an average pass across the board, and even better would be to have a distinction in all. Today, the general ummah, what has happened to us, we've taken one subject of life and we've pierced the roof. We've broken the records. We've hit super distinction. Some people are conscious of physical fitness. You know, it's a pride and then it's the joke. And I've quoted this in many of my talks where they say, you know, Superman, Iron Man. So I said, yeah, I'm Sulaiman. MashaAllah, fitness, to keep your physique in place, that's good. But then what happened to your soul? Aren't you nourishing your soul? Where's the balance between the two? You're taking care of your... Now anybody eats something that probably has so many calories, he's like, brother, you shouldn't be eating this, you're destroying your health. The Messenger said, you must look after your... That's right. But strike the balance. You're having a distinction in your physical and in your spiritual, you're hitting a zero. Some people are super good neighbors. You know, neighborhood watch, neighborhood barbecues, neighborhood activeness here. But that very same man in his house, no relationship with his spouse and his children. So yes, kindness to your neighbor is essential, is integral, is pivotal. It's important. But then have the balance in place. So we cannot take one aspect of life, reach a super level, and become oblivious, negligent and careless about other aspects of life. We need to bring it in harmony and endeavor to advance ourselves and improve ourselves in all spheres of life. We need to become all-rounders. And that's the beauty and that's the teachings of Islam. And I share with you today brief anecdotes from the life of none other than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was a man who attained excellency in everything of life. So the hadith is in Muslim Sharif, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the Sahaba, and then he asked the question casually, "Man asbaha minkum al-yawma sa'ima?" Anybody fasting today? They weren't told from before, and this is optional, that I'm going to be, you know, testing you or checking on you. Just casually, the Prophet said, anybody fasting? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu modestly raised his hands. Me, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man at'ama minkum al-yawma miskina? Anybody had some time to feed a poor person today? Now you'll find some people, mashallah, they'll be very particular about their optional fast, which is good, and don't get the wrong end of the stick. They would observe the Monday, the Thursday, the ayyam al-beed, etc. But in terms of having a generous hand, there's nothing. On the other hand, you'll have some people that are generous in spending, but in terms of personal piety and observing optional actions, there's nothing. And that's the main and that's the theme what I'm saying. We need to improve every aspect of our life. That physical fitness that you have is superb, it's great. Our Prophet ﷺ was a very, very disciplined human. For man, few luqmas, few muscles, yutinna sulbahu, which keeps his back straight. Mil gayi to rozi, جمیلا تو روزہ. That was the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If food was available, I will eat, and if it's not available, I'll observe the fast. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to observe Sawm Wisal. Wisal was uninterrupted 3 days of fasting. People speak about the specialities of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and yes, Allah had blessed him with many specialities. But reflect over this speciality also, where he had to fast for 3 days. I had once given a talk on all the specialities of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. تُرْجِي مَنْ تَشَاءُ مِنْهُنَّ وَتُؤْوِي إِلَيْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَمَنْ ابْتَغَيْتَ مِمَّنْ عَزَلْتَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكَ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَنْ تَقَرَّ أَعْيُنُهُنَّ وَلَا يَحْزَنَّ وَيَرْضَيْنَ بِمَا آتَيْتَهُنَّ كُلُّهُنَّ. That although the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a polygamous relationship and he had multiple spouses, Allah had exempted him from maintaining fairness between his spouses. So he could draw any spouse close and he could put any spouse on hold at his discretion. وَمَنِ بِتَغَيْدَ مِمَّنْ عَزَلْتَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكَ. And if you had put a particular spouse on hold and after a few days of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam you felt the need of that spouse, there's no harm on you to call upon her. But listen to this. Allah gave him divine concession. Allah gave him divine exemption. But he did not use the concession once, never mind abuse it. The Prophet ﷺ was given fairness, choice, however you're comfortable. You want to spend 5 nights here with one spouse, 2 nights with another spouse, 3 nights, at your discretion, at your ease. Not once did he use the concession, leave alone abuse it. He never opted it, even when he was in his illness, in his fatal illness, and he couldn't move. He took consent. Aina ana ghadan, aina ana ghadan, aina ana ghadan, aina ana ghadan. Tomorrow, if which spouse's chance, then they would say, Safiya radiallahu anha. Now, he was very, very modest. The Messenger of Allah couldn't explicitly say something because he was very modest. مَا قَالَ لَا قَدْتُ إِلَّا فِي تَشَهُّدِهِ لَوْ لَكْ تَشَهُّدُ كَانَتْ لَهُهُ نَعْمُ. مَا قَالَ لَا قَدْتُ إِلَّا فِي تَشَهُّدِهِ. The poet said, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم never said no in his life. The only time he said no is when he said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. There's no God but one Allah. Otherwise he never refused anyone. He never denied anyone. He never was harsh. And if it wasn't for la ya, he would say na'am ya as well. So one of the specialities of the Prophet ﷺ was Sawm Wisal. 3 days uninterrupted. Sahaba said, O Messenger ﷺ, can we observe? He said, you will not manage. They tried for 1 day, 2 days. And they said, O Messenger ﷺ, this is cumbersome upon us. He said, I told you, إِنَّمَا يُتَوِمُنِي رَبِّي وَيَسْقِينِي. That worshipping Allah nourishes my soul. Anyway, he asked the Sahaba, مَنْ أَصْبَحَ مِنْكُمُ الْيَوْمَ صَاحِمًا. Any one of you is fasting today? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, myself. Some people say after Ramadan, Ramadan was very quick, man. Okay, who's stopping you from fasting after Ramadan? Hey, Ramadan came quickly and went away, brother. Ya Shaykh, was quick, man. Fast, who's stopping you? I mean, where's the truth to that claim? Hazrat Maulana Inam al-Hasan rahmatullah alayhi used to say, jo zindagi guzarega Ramzan ki tarah, maut aayegi uske paas Eid ke chand ki tarah. Jo zindagi guzarega Ramzan ki tarah, maut aayegi uske paas Eid ke chand ki tarah. The one who governs his whole life by the dictates and governs his life by the rhythm of Ramadan, he will receive the crescent of Shawwal. He will receive the angel of death with the same joy, the same excitement, the same euphoria, the same jubilation with which he receives the moon of Eid. That's how he will receive the angel of death. مَنْ أَطْعَمَ مِنْكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِسْكِينًا. Anybody felt a poor person today? أَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. مَنْ عَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا. Did anybody have some time to visit the sick people in the neighborhood? أَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. من تبع منكم اليوم جنازة؟ Did anybody attend a funeral? أنا يا رسول الله. We need to make up all rounders in life. There was a youngster who came to me. He said, Chef, you know, my neighbors, they just love me. My boss, he says I'm the best employee. My mother-in-law, she says I'm a son. It's just my mom, she doesn't like me. I said, my brother, I don't have an issue if you've impressed your mother-in-law. Good luck. And if you want the confidence of your boss, excellent. But your jannah is spending on your mom and not the others. Your jannah is spending. You appease yourself, I'm a good man here and I'm a good man. Ah, it's just my mom, she has issues with me. But your mom is everything. Upon that is your jannah. So we have to work to improve every aspect of our life. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam said, مَجْتَمَعْنَ فِي مْرِئٍ إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Oh Abu Bakr, when these qualities are found in any person, then surely Jannah is his abode. And the hadith of Bukhari, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الصَّلَاةِ دُعْيَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الصَّلَاةِ وَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الصَّدَقَةِ دُعْيَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الصَّدَقَةِ وَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الصَّوْمِ دُعْيَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الرِّيَّانِ. That if a person observed prayer, he will be ushered through the door of prayer into paradise. And if a person gave charity, he will be ushered through the door of charity. And if a person observed the fast, he will be ushered into paradise through the door of Riyan. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there anybody from your ummah who will enjoy the honor of satisfying all the commandments of Allah, thereby being invited to enter Jannah through every door? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Na'am wa ardu an takuna minhum. Yes, Abu Bakr, and you are speaking of yourself. That's going to be you. That's going to be you, O Abu Bakr, where every door is going to say, Abu Bakr, honor me, privilege me, allow me the opportunity. Please come through here. Please come through here. لَمَوْضِعُ صَوْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. Just the size of a lip, of a whip or a lash, a small piece, just that much. Even so much occupation and so much space in Jannah is greater than this entire world. Can you probably fathom or endeavor to fathom the glory of that person that every door of Jannah is flung wide open and saying, please come through here, please come through here. Abu Quhafa, before reverting to Islam, he said to his son Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, أَرَاكَ تُعْتِقُ أُنَاسًا ضِعَافًا فَلَوْ أَنَّكَ أَعْتَقْتَ رِجَالًا جَلْدًا أَقْبِيًا يَقُومُونَ مَعَكْ وَيَدْفَعُونَ عَنْكَ. He wasn't a Muslim at that time, Abu Quhafa. He was a non-Muslim, but subsequently accepted Islam. And with reference to Qurtubi, I read, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the only Sahabi in the galaxy of Sahaba whose spouse, whose parents, and whose children, everyone was a Muslim. This was the honor of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. His parents, his spouses, his children, Allah bless the whole family. So his father Abu Quhafa, who was not a Muslim, said to him, oh my son, this is very strange. I see you liberating poor, weak slaves. Now when you liberate someone, you go and buy their freedom, then morally and ethically, they are obligated to you because you've done a favor to them. So whenever you call upon them, they're going to respond to your call. But these people are so weak and poor. Why would you want to buy their freedom? Go liberate someone who's got strength and muscle. So tomorrow if anybody wants to bully you or intimidate you or put up an argument with you, you can call upon those slaves because they have to respond, you have liberated them. Jazallahu khayran an biladin wa sahbihi aqiqan wa akhza fakihan wa aba jahli ashiyatan hamma fi biladin bisawhati wa lam yahdara ma yahdaru al-mar'u al-'aqli بتوحيده رب الأنام وقوله شهدت بأن الله ربي على مهلي فإن يقتلوني فلم أكن لأشرك بالرحمن من خيفة القتل فيا رب موسى وعيسى نجني. جزى الله خيرا عن بلال وصحبه عتيقا. May Allah reward on behalf of Sayyidina Bilal and his likes, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, wa akhza faqihan, faqih ibn Mughira, wa Aba Jahli, and may Allah bring disgrace to these people. Ashiyatan hamma bi bilalin bi sawati. On a particular night, they advanced with a sinister and a nasty agenda to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. وَلَمْ يَحْذَرَا مَا يَحْذَرُ الْمَرْءُ ذُو الْعَقْلِ. And they did not conduct themselves with the dignity of a sane human. بِتَوْحِيدِهِ رَبَّ الْأَنَامِ. Simply because he professed monotheism, the doctrine of one Allah. وَقَوْلِهِ and his utterance, شَهِدْتُ. I believe in one Allah. And what did Sayyidina Bilal say? فَإِنْ يَقْتُلُونِي يَقْتُلُونِي. If they choose to kill me, let them do and execute what they claim. فَلَمْ أَكُنْ لِأُشْرِكَ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ خِيْفَةِ الْقَتْلِ. Out of the fear of being killed, I will not forsake Tawheed and I will not give up oneness of Allah. So what did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu say? The narration is in Hakim and in Mustadrak as well. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to his father Abu Dhuhafa, "Oh my dad, when..." Now listen to this. This is amazing. We talk of sincerity. "When I want to help someone, I try and assist such a person in whom there is no remote possibility of reciprocation or remuneration. Somebody who cannot benefit me back in any way, so I can take my full reward from Allah." When I do an action, I don't like to have a diluted interest. Ye bhi ho jayega, wo bhi ho jayega. Cover yourself from both sides. No, no. I do it in such a way that I know this man, he won't be able to help me at all. There's no hope in him. Nothing, nothing. You know what? I'm helping a man at an airport. He's taking a flight this way, I'm going that way. Where are we going to meet up with him again? That's it. But I know Allah is watching. Allah revealed the verse. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. That Sayyidina Abu Bakr's kindness was not motivated to offset a favor. If you offset a favor, that's good. Someone's been kind to you, you must be kind to him. مَنْ صَنَعَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا فَكَافِئُوهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَجِدُوا مَا تُكَافِئُوهُ فَادْعُوا لَهُ حَتَّى تَرَوْا أَنْ قَدْ كَافَأْتُمُوهُ. That if somebody has been kind to you, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَكَافِئُوهُ. Compensate him, reimburse him, acknowledge him. Jazakallah, brother. One of the practices today we have lost, which is in our deen, is to acknowledge people who are the bearer of good news. If a person comes to you with glad tidings, good news, then the teachings of the Sharia is that you reward him. People don't even know about this. We know how to curse a man who comes with bad news. If somebody comes with bad news, you bad luck. Somebody comes with bad news, then we will hurl the most vituperative language towards him. And we would say the most nasty things. But we would never say kind words, or acknowledge, or thank, or reciprocate those who bring good news. And this is in the hadith. Sayyidina Ka'ab radiallahu anhu said, Hatta kamula lana khamsoona layla. 50 nights had passed when the social boycott was put on us. And in that, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nobody must speak to us. 50 long nights. And in that period, the king of Ghassan sent me a note. And he said to me, سَمِعْنَا أَنَّ صَاحِبَكَ قَدْ جَفَى فَالْحَقْ بِنَا نُوَاسِيكَ. Oh, I heard that your prophet has abandoned you. You don't need to put up with this nonsense. Come on our side, we'll take good care of you. Understand this. I was reading in the writings of Hakim al-Ummah this hadith, and that's why I urge people to read his writings. Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi said, I thought the Urdu language has nothing to offer till I read the Bayan al-Quran of Hakim al-Ummah. I thought the Urdu language has nothing to offer till I read the Bayan al-Quran of Hakim al-Ummah. And then I had to retract my words and I said, this has a lot. And with the grace of Allah, I read it daily. Can't make any claims. Imagine this year, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is angry with these Sahaba as in a disciplinary process. In the interim, a disbeliever, king and monarch exploits this and he finds a niche to infiltrate and he says, hang on, hang on, I believe your Prophet is angry with you. Leave Islam, leave your Prophet, come here. We won't treat you like this. You have an argument with your wife and you walk out and a woman gives you a smile. Hello. You had a tough run at home, right? You know, the woman went to the doctor and she says, Doc, my husband took a banana by mistake. What do I do? He's like, don't waste it, give him a headache. Oh, Doc, my husband took a banana by mistake, what do I do? So he's like, no, don't waste the banana of your husband, give him a headache now. You know how to give him a headache, so give it to him. If you are having turbulence in your marital relation and you come out and there is a woman that gives you a smile and a warm embrace, how many of us has the strength to be modest and restrain ourselves? The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is angry with you due to what has happened. There is a monarch who's exploiting this and offering you every perk on the table. Come here, come here. We'll look after you. We will pamper you. And when Sayyidina Ka'b radiallahu anhu said this, he said, وَهَذَا أَيْضًا مِنَ الْبَلَىٰ. Oh my Allah, the test is getting stronger. And look at the beauty. Hakim al-Ummah writes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows that why he has put the social boycott. Other people are calling Ka'b radiallahu anhu one side. He didn't say, okay, call Ka'b back. He didn't say, okay, we abandoned the boycott, tell Ka'b radiallahu anhu. There was a training process. There was a tarbiyat that was taking place. There was a tarbiyat that was taking place of Ka'b radiallahu anhu. Anyway, Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, 50 days had passed, and I performed my Fajr Salah, and I'll never forget the day. And somebody came running towards me and said, أَبْشِرْ يَا كَعْبُ بِخَيْرِ يَوْمٍ مَرَّ عَلَيْكَ مُنْذُ وَلَدَتْكَ أُمُّكَ. Oh Ka'b, today is the day. You've never seen the lights before. You've never seen the lights thereafter. The greatest day in your life. Allah has accepted your tawbah. فَخَرَرْتُ سَاجِدًا. I dropped onto sajda. And my head just was stuck to the ground. May Allah give us that sajda. There's a good friend of mine, he says, Shaykh, you know what? People are talking that the men are suffering prostate cancer. The ummah is suffering prostate cancer. They talk of men having prostate cancer. He said, today the ummah is suffering prostate. Nobody is prostrating to Allah. I fell into sajda, فَخَرَرْتُ سَاجِدًا. And the person who came to give me glad tidings, I said, I have to give you something. You brought good news. I don't own anything other than the clothes I wear. I am gifting it to you, but equally borrowing it from you. People don't even know that this is the teachings of Islam. This is mentioned in Marif al-Quran, when the eldest son of Sayyidina Yaqub, Yehuda, when he came with the garment of Yusuf alayhi salam, فَلَمَّا أَنْ جَاءَ الْبَشِيرُ أَلْقَاهُ عَلَىٰ وَجِهِهِ فَارْتَدَّ بَصِيرًا قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. When the eldest son came with the garment of Sayyidina Yusuf and he dropped it on the face of his father and his vision was restored, and Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam said, I told you, I know from Allah what you don't know. So when this boy returned the garment and the good news that Sayyidina Yusuf was alive, his father Yaqub said to him, you brought good news, O my son, and I'm so glad, and Allah has restored my vision, and I need to reward you, acknowledge you, compensate you. But this is the house of Nabuwwah. There is nothing tangible that I can give you. It's in Marif al-Quran. So I'm going to make one dua for you. I was talking of the hadith, من صنع إليكم معروفا فكافئوه. Someone has been kind to you, compensate him. And the Messenger said, if a person has been kind to you at a place you have absolutely nothing, make so much dua for him that by virtue of that dua you are convinced you have offset his favor. You have compensated him. Sincere dua. When Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu had made his donations in Tabuk, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who spent? And then Sayyidina Uthman said, مِئَةَ بَغِيرٍ بِأَحْلَاسِهَا وَأَقْتَابِهَا. 100 camels laden from my side. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said again, and then Sayyidina Uthman said, مِئَةَ بَغِيرٍ another 100 camels. Our condition is, if there's an appeal, we donate. And then when the call is made against the brother is talking to you, I'm done. What me, it's you, yeah. Finish. I'm over. I'm done. So Sayyidina Uthman said again, مِئَةَ بَغِيرٍ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said again, and then he came and he dropped his coins. He had all his coins in the care of Nabi alayhi sallam. And he said, this is also in the path of Allah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua for him. I read it many years ago in Kanzul Ummal. And in my humble research, I couldn't come across another dua like this. غفر الله لك يا عثمان ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت وما أخفيت وما أبديت وما كان منك وما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة. غفر الله لك يا عثمان ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت وما أخفيت وما أبديت. It just makes the bodies, the hair stand on end. Uthman, may Allah forgive your minor, your major, your previous, your current, your past, you, your family, your progeny, to the other. So Sayyidina Yaqub told his son, my dua to you is, I don't have anything else to reward you. My dua is at the time of death, may Allah make the pangs of death easy for you. Today if a father makes the dua for his son, he's cursing his son. Because he said, how can you make dua that you must have an easy death? Anyway, coming back to that hadith that I was saying, that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what did he say? I love to help someone in whom I don't see any return. And I read a beautiful description of ikhlas somewhere. Someone said, what is sincerity? When you conceive your virtue with the same passion with which you conceive your wrong. You know when a man's got unsavory activities on his phone, the phone is in the bathroom, the phone is in his pocket, the phone is under his pillow, the phone is in the shower. No, it's an urgent call coming. It's an urgent call coming. Every time he's in the bathroom, there's an urgent call coming. Why? Because nobody must lay their hands on this phone and see the kind of illicit relationship or unsavory contacts. And I often say, and I'll say it again, my brother, that when we leave this world, if we cannot leave a legacy of virtue, at least let us try and erase a trail of evil. When I die, if my child doesn't open up my closet and find some kind words, oh, my father donated here, oh, my father used to recite so much Quran, oh, my father did this silent action. If I don't have a legacy of virtue, let it not be that when my legacy is discovered and unfolded, they find the trail of evil behind. This is the wrong my dad did, this is the wrong my brother did. Oh, when I got onto the computer, it was the sore sight, the kind of sights my father was seeing, or the kind of places he was visiting, may Allah forbid. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, there's an ayat of the Quran just on the topic of ikhlas. I just mentioned that quickly and we move on to other aspects. And the focus of my talk is we need to excel in everything of life. We need to improve. We can't be hitting the roof and breaking records in one thing and falling short in others. We don't even have an average pass. أَيَوَدُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن تَكُونَ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ لَهُمْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَةِ سُورَةَ بَقَرَةَ verse 2 double 6. Amazing, amazing. Just reflect over this here. Allah says, يَوَدُّ. Would any one of you like, desire or wish? أَيَوَدُّ أَحَدُكُمْ. Any one of you. أَن تَكُونَ that he has جَنَّةَ a garden مِنْ نَخِيلٍ of date palms وَأَعْنَابٍ vineyards تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ beneath which rivers are flowing. لَهُ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. He has every type of fruit and produce in them. So you have a beautiful orchard, you have date palms, you have vineyards, you have lovely rivers, you have a beautiful environment, awesome ambiance. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ لَهُ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Now this is your investment, this is where you've invested and you're going to, reap your fruits. وَأَصَابَهُ الْكِبَرُ. Reflect over this parable. The parables of the Quran are great. The examples of the Quran are great. And examples is part of the divine teachings of Quran and Hadith. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. And these are the examples we presented, and only people of intelligence understand it. Under this ayah in Ibn Kathir, Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu's quotation is mentioned. عَقَلْتُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَلْفَ مِثَالٍ. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu said, I learned, heard, and understood 1,000 examples from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a parent, as a teacher, as a guardian, when you're reaching out to your children, your juniors, use examples. The Quran is filled with examples. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا كَمَثَلِ جَنَّةِ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءِ يَا أَيُّ النَّاسُ ذُرِبَ مَثَلًا. The whole Quran is ضُرِبَ مَثَلًا ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. Examples, it's important, it's imperative. Quran and Hadith are brimming with examples. Allah says, this is an example. You have your vineyard, you have your date palms, you have rivers flowing. And then, وَأَصَابَهُ الْكِبَرُ. Allahu Akbar. Old age hits you. Old age. And after old age hits you, وَأَصَابَهُ الْكِبَرُ وَلَهُ ذُرِّيَّةٌ ضُعَفَاءُ. And you have small children that are weak and dependent. Each angle of this parable comes back, so you need to reflect on it. Verse 266, Surah Baqarah, third juz. فَأَصَابَهَا إِعْصَارٌ. Then comes a hurricane, then comes a tornado, then comes a whirlwind, and it devours and destroys the crops and destroys the plantation. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ. In this way, Allah gives you the examples, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ, so that you may reflect. Now, the scholars of Tafsir apply this analogy. Understand, there is a man who is investing in something. And this is your rich investment, you're hoping for it to mature. And when do you want to draw from it? When old age hits you. When you cannot work any longer. So just when old age hits you, just when old age hits you, Allah says that there comes a whirlwind that destroys the crops. But that's not all. The Quran says that at that stage you have small, dependent, weak and feeble children. Why? Now, one of my ikram explained this, and when I read this, I just teared. I said, Allah, these are the وَكَلَامُ رَبِّي لَا يَجِئُ بِمِثْلِهِ أَحَدٌ وَلَوْ جُمِعَتْ لَهُ الثَّقَلَانِينَ. وَكَلَامُ رَبِّي لَا يَجِئُ أَحَدٌ بِمِثْلِهِ. Who can give the likes of this Quran? You cannot think up an example like this. You cannot think up. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا رَجُلًا فِيهِ شُرَكَاءُ مُتَشَاكِسُونَ وَرَجُلًا سَلَمًا لِرَجُلٍ هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says there's one person who's employed by five bosses. He's got five bosses. And there's one person who is employed by one boss. وَرَجُلًا سَلَمًا لِرَجُلٍ. He's got to be answerable to one, he's got to be transparent to one, he's got to report to one. And the other one is owned by five. The one says 2 o'clock you come home. The other one says 2 o'clock you pick up my son from school. The other one says 2 o'clock I want to see you at the office. Can you imagine how that man's life will be? It will be a living nightmare. Because he's got five bosses, and the Quran said not only five. Mutashakisoon. Aapas mein zid rakhne wale. Five who are mutually stubborn and obstinate. They're not mutually cooperating. Can you imagine how that man's life is going to be? And the other one's just got one to answer. Allah said, the one who has handed himself over to Allah, I'm only going to please Allah, I'm only going to avoid the displeasure of Allah. And why pleasing Allah if you're happy, my wife? Good luck. And why pleasing Allah if you're happy, my son? Good luck. And why pleasing Allah if you are angry, my son? Tough luck. Tough luck. Because I'm motivated, I'm going to please Allah. لَيْتَكَ تَحْلُو وَالْحَيَاةُ مَرِيرًا وَلَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْأَنَامُ رِضَاهُ وَلَيْتَ الَّذِي بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ عَامِرُ وَبَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ الْعَالَمِينَ خَرَابُ فَإِنْ صَحَّ مِنْكَ الْوُدُّ فَالْكُلُّ هَيِّنُ وَكُلُّ الَّذِي فَوْقَ التُّرَابِ تُرَابُ. ليتك تحلو. Allah, I want my relation with you must be sweet. It's been sweet with everyone, but I've been sour with you. Allah, I want to be sweet with you, Allah. I want to be in your good books, my Allah. I need to know when I sleep, you are happy with me, Allah. My wife, my children, society, boss, environment, this is back and forward, up and down. It is not stable, it fluctuates. But I want you to be happy. فَإِنْ صَحَّ مِنْكَ الْوَدُّ فَالْكُلُّ هَيِّنُ. If I know you happy, Allah, everything else is trivial, insignificant. وَكُلُّ الَّذِي فَوْقَ التُّرَابِ تُرَابُ. Whatever is above the sand will one day end up in sand. يَقُولُ الْمَرْءُ مَا لِي وَفَائِدَتِي وَتَقْوَى اللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ مَا اسْتَفَادَ. يُرِيدُ الْمَرْءُ أَنْ يُعْطَى مُنَاهُ وَيَقْبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا مَا أَرَادَ. يُرِيدُ الْمَرْءُ أَنْ يُعْطَى مُنَاهُ. A man wishes, my dream must be fulfilled. I want this, I want that. وَيَقْبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا مَا أَرَادَ. But the truth is, Allah has made it clear, it don't even happen what He wants. I wish, you wish, we all, it carries on. But we know, what Allah wants is going to happen. وَيَقْبَى اللَّهُ. Allah denies it, but that what He wants will occur. Allahu Akbar. What will we say, SubhanAllah? Get an idea who is how focused. The example, I went to Akadukum, Jazakallah khair. So coming back to the richness of the example, the beauty of the Quran. You old, you aged, now the whirlwind comes, destroys your crop, you have your children. Now, if we just take a step back, if a whirlwind came and destroyed your crops, destroyed your investment, the markets went down, but you were young, what you say, I'll bounce back. And you know what, I took a bad knock, I burnt my fingers, my uncle, I got up the next morning, I'm up on my feet. It's alright, you took a knock in life, we'll be back up. But the Quran says, no, yeah, you took a knock, but you're too old to stand up. وَأَصَابَهُ الْكِبَرِ. Number one. Number two, if you're old and you're aged, and you burnt your fingers and your investment went down, and you had no children, one scenario. You say, hey, you know what, I had invested, I really wanted to enjoy life, but I lost my investment. But it's okay, it's just myself and the old lady. We'll just pass through with life. I was flying back from Holland. There was a couple next to me in the flight. Elderly, old, aged, frail. You know, and I say this often in my talks, the cosmetic world. You see, just before the flight is going to touch down, and everybody, you know, sits up and buckles up and gets themselves ready, and you see this old, aged, frail woman who can barely see, and then with her hand she gets up and takes out a cosmetic bag, and now she starts putting lipstick on her. 85. Right? I mean, she's old, she's aged, I'm trying to grapple, and I'm trying to say, like, what's this here? And she's backing herself up to say, oh, thank you, young man, that's so kind of you. May God bless you. Anyway, so this couple is sitting, old, aged, way off, we're going to Cape Town, okay? But you know, Cape Town's got a lot of crime in South Africa and all that. I'm telling them it's a wonderful, it's a lovely place, beautiful, but obviously they are negative to any place. We are so old that even if we become a victim of crime, we don't mind dying in Cape Town. I said, wow, that's good, man. So when you're old and you're aged, you can let it be, you know. So a whirlwind comes, strikes your orchard, you're alone, you don't have children. I burnt my finger, it's alright, that's life. One scenario. Second scenario, you owe your age, the whirlwind hits, you have durriya, but aqwiya. You have children that are strong, healthy. So you lost your investment, but then you say, oh, alhamdulillah, you know, my son's got his own house there. So my daughter calls me there in New York, my son is in Dubai, my other son is in Paris. So me and the old lady, we just hop around. You know, 2 months here, 2 months there. We don't know whatever we had, we lost, but now the children are calling us, so we go around. The Quran said, no. This is your only investment. It struck you when you're old. You have nothing else to stand on. And when you look beneath you, you have children crying at your feet desperately. And now you have nothing to offer, you have no muscle to work again. Allah says, this will be the desperation of a man who did good actions in this world to impress other people. When he will come before Allah on the day of Qiyamah, his desperation will know no bounds, only to discover that his investment is ruined and there's nowhere else to turn. You appear before Allah and it's gone. And now I need it the most. And there's nothing to fall on. May Allah bless us with ikhlas. May Allah bless us with sincerity. I cried. And I cried. And it keeps on bothering me. And I asked you to pray for me. And I said it now recently when I was in Sydney, and I'll say it again. I envy my audience. I envy you, my brother. Because seldom will a person attend a talk with a wrong intention. But seldom will a man give a talk with the right intention. When a person comes to listen, who are you going to impress? What brownies are you going to get? What points are you going to get by sitting in a talk? But sitting here is not an easy position. There could be a thousand things that would clog my mind to sit and thrill you or create or show my own abilities, and I have nothing. So I cry to Allah constantly, Allah, you put me in this position and I appreciate your kindness upon me, but I ask you to guide me and I sincerely ask you to pray for me. May Allah give us ikhlas. May Allah give us sincerity. We've got a journey to meet our Creator. I don't want to thrill you and you don't want to thrill me. Allah is watching us both. Allah is watching us both. And He knows my intentions and your intentions. In whatever we do, may Allah bless us with true sincerity and ikhlas. Anyway, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, amongst his privileges, we know when he came to Badr, again, it was none other than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. On the 17th of Ramadan, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went in his arish, in his tent, and nobody else was allowed in but Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. It was private between the Nabi of Allah and Abu Bakr. And then Nabi alayhi salatu was salam made so much dua, wa Abu Bakr yuhawwinu alayhi. Abu Bakr said, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take it easy. Inna Allah munjizun laka wahdak. Allah will fulfill His promise and Allah will give victory. And the Nabi of Allah cried so much to Allah. In Kitab al-Mawarid, in Hayat al-Sahaba, there's a quotation of Huzayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu. He said, a time will come, لا ينجو أحد إلا من يدعوك دعاء الغريق. لا ينجو أحد. A time will come, nobody will be rescued from the fitnas of that time, but the person who cries to Allah, like how a drowning person cries for help. When a man is drowning, he's not like, help me, okay, the person is fine, I'm going down. He's screaming, he's yelling to his optimum level. The fitnas that will come on this world, nothing will happen, but none will be rescued. But the one who cries to Allah like a man who's drowning, that is how you and I will have to make dua for our hidayat and the hidayat of our children. The hadith of Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, such fitnas will come, عَمْيَا بَكْمَا مَنْ أَشْرَفَ لَهَا إِسْتَشْرَفَتْ لَهُ. Those fitnas will leave you blind and leave you dead. Whoever will eavesdrop or whoever will peep into that fitna, the fitna will swallow him in. There was a sister who once called me and she said, my son unfortunately had succumbed to the habit of drugs and he was taking all this substance abuse and we were trying to rehabilitate him back and forward and we couldn't make sense of it, and I've dealt with many of these people and it's really challenging. May Allah guide them, may Allah protect our youth, may Allah make it easy. The world outside there is evil. Amir ibn Abdullah al-Tamimi, Amir ibn Abdullah al-Tamimi, the student of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, used to say in his dua, خلقتني بأمرك يا رب خلقتني بأمرك وأقمتني في بلايا هذه الدنيا بمشيئتك ثم قلت لي استمسك ولكن كيف استمسك إن لم تمسكني بلطفك يا قوي يا متين. إلهي خلقتني بأمرك. Allah, you created me. I'm not here because I want you. You wanted my existence, so I'm here. وأقمتني في بلايا هذه الدنيا بمشيئتك. Then you subjected me to all the temptations around this fitna, this invitation, this challenge, this challenge. ثم قلت لي استمسك. Then you told me, don't succumb, don't surrender, restrain, behave, manage yourself.
Allah, I'm only asking, if you're not going to help me, how am I going to achieve this? If you're not going to help me, the temptations outside there are daring. Are daring out. So, he said, one day my husband went into his cupboard and he finds some powder inside. He thought, I don't know what's this. Man ashrafa laha istashrafat lahu. The Messenger of Allah said, whoever will just probe and pry and be a bit curious, let me see what's this. Okay, I'm on the phone here. What's the site about? It's a bit curious. Let's just log on. Let's just go on. Let's just see what's it all about. Curiosity. Gone. Gone. Swallowed. Sucked in. Completely. Taken away. Just surfing the net. Just playing around. Just chatting. There was a brother now in Australia, he was taking us to the airport in Sydney. So he's telling me, he said, you know, technology today, I'm originally from Lebanon, so I went back home to get married. So I wanted a homely, simple, traditional girl. We go to this village, and then it's outskirts of the town, and we go up this mountain, there, top of a mountain, there's one isolated house. I said, wow, this is the kind of girl I'm looking for, you know, laid back, primitive, away from all. You know what, the fast life. Finally we get up there and I meet and, you know, I'm quite interested and I propose. So the girl says, yeah, you need to know that I was proposed 3 times before and he broke up. Oh, 3 other guys also find this house. I thought, like, you know what, my navigation, my coordinates were not finding it properly. Like, how did everybody else find this house? So there was a guy from America, a guy from Dubai, and a 3rd guy from Germany. Wow, how did these people find this house? Checking online. Checking online. Where to where? I said, ya Allah. It's like I'm going to the house, we're driving. I'm seeing here, you know, it's a gravel road, it's a rough patch, it's a dusty area. I said, well, this is now going to the real simple down-to-earth place. Anyway, the sister is saying, my husband picked up the powder and he tasted it and she broke down. I said, sister, are you there on the line? She said, yes, my husband is now an addict and my son is clean. Now my husband is addicted to drugs. So, dua, none would be rescued but the one who cries to Allah. Not just the casual dua. And I'm not saying dua is casual, dua is dua. No, I give this analogy often with my thoughts. We were in Canada, I'm taking a stroll at the water. So the man had cast his rod in and he was sitting. So I just got chatting with him. I said, how's the fishing? I don't have any interest in fishing. But yeah, like, how's it going? He said, I'm enjoying the day in the sun. The fish is a bonus. I'm enjoying the day in the sun. I'm just basking in the sun. And the fish is a bonus. And I said to myself, how good it would be if the believer applied that analogy in dua. I'm enjoying chatting with my Allah. And if he answers, it's a bonus. You make dua, is it accepted? Oh, I'm just enjoying talking to Allah. I'm just enjoying talking to Allah. I just love talking to Allah. I talk to Allah. And wallahi, I have cried in my du'as more when I'm driving and when I'm flying than when I'm in the masjid. And I just enjoy it. When I'm driving alone, Allah is my witness. I'm talking my heart out. I'm talking from every language I know. It's like talking to my Allah one-on-one, having a chat with my Creator. إِلَهِ كَيْفَ أَدْعُوكَ وَأَنَا عَاصِنِ وَكَيْفَ لَا أَدْعُوكَ وَأَنْتَ كَرِيمُ. Allah, I don't know how to talk to you because I'm so evil, but I also don't know how not to talk to you because you're so kind. Talk to Allah. People chat for hours in other things. Chat with Allah. Bond with Allah. Speak to Allah. Allah loves it. Allah loves it. The ulama have written there are 5 ways that du'as are accepted, and sometimes Allah delays the du'a just because Allah loves the begging process. You know, you tell your child, just ask one time, Abba please, Abba. Then you say, okay, okay. You know, they say, Abba. Now, you're going to give it to him, and he also knows, but you know, once you gave it to him, you're not going to see him till he needs it again. And that's how you and I with Allah. So Allah keeps us there. Allah, oh my servant, come. But then Allah needs us to beg. Allah doesn't need us. Allah doesn't need anything. Anyway, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in dua. And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, Inna Allah munjizun laka wa'dak. Allah has answered your du'as. Nabi alayhi wa sallam comes out, Abshir ya Abu Bakr, Hada Jibreel akhidun bi'inani farsihi. Oh Abu Bakr, glad tidings. Here is Jibreel coming, holding on to the reins of his horse. And then Allah gives victory to the Muslims. And after the victory of the Muslims that they got in Badr,
وَلَوْ تَوَاعَدْتُمْ لَاخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِي الْمِيعَادِ وَلَكِنْ لِيَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا كَانَ مَفْعُولًا.
If you had to finalize the day, you would have differed on the days. But Allah made it so happen because Allah had decreed it. So after Badr was over, the Sahaba are talking amongst themselves that we showed great valor, great enthusiasm, and Alhamdulillah, because of us and because of this. And Allah revealed the verse, فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ. Oh my Sahaba, you were amazing. But learn to give credit to Allah, not to yourself.
And Sahaba did, and Allah told them to give credit to. We don't do, and we want to take credit. We don't do anything, and we want to take credit.
فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Another incident, because my time is running up here, in the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. One day Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Rabia ibn Ka'b had an argument over a piece of land. It was a date farm, it was a bordering with their two properties. So this is the beauty of Sahaba, that they were humans, they erred. But no sooner they erred, they became restless. We do wrong, and we can carry on with our wrong. Our tawbah doesn't make us restless. Abu Bakr al-Warraq has written something amazing. What is tawbah? Those three Sahaba who didn't participate in Tabuk, actually there were 10 in total. Three had delayed in their tawbah, 7 had repented immediately. وَآخَرُونَ اَعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. There were 7 Sahaba who also didn't participate, but as soon as the Nabi of Allah returned, they made tawbah. And 3 of them had put their tawbah on hold. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. I'm not going into all the details. Anyway, he writes there, Abu Bakr al-Warraq, حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. That when the tawbah was put on hold, the Quran said, ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ. They became narrow. They became constrained. They lost pleasure in life. They didn't have a drive to eat. They didn't have an excitement for anything. Abu Bakr al-Warraq writes, الأصل في التوبة أن تضيق على التائب الأرض بما رغبت. Tawbah is the land has become narrow. You say, I'm feeling very bad, but hey, I want to go out and have a good meal. I want to go out and have a good massage. I need some gentle hands. I'm making tawbah, but that's my tawbah. What's my tawbah? Hasan al-Basri fasted the whole day. It was the time of iftar. And just then one person was reciting the Quran, Inna ladayna ankala wa jahima, that in Jahannam they are shackled, with which the occupants of hell will be shackled. And this ayat struck such reality, he lost taste, he couldn't eat at the time of iftar. If we have to hear by that is for Jahannam, we fast the window of Jannah. Read the ayat of Jannah fast with me, Shaykh. You know, many years ago, in my early years, the brother came to me and said, Shaykh, I have a problem. You know, in prayer, whenever I pray, I think of my wife. I said, you're a lucky man. He says, no, I think of my wife. I said, the majority of people, they think of other people's wives. Mostly people are thinking of his wife and that. You're thinking of your wife, good luck, enjoy, think of her. Okay. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had an altercation with Rabi'ah ibn Ka'b, a little argument. As soon as he had an argument, he regretted. Immediate atonement, expiation. He said, oh Rabia, forgive me, please forgive me. And say to me what I said to you. So Rabia radiallahu anhu said, no, I'm not going to say that because you said a harsh word to me. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, if you're not going to say this, I'll report you to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fajara unasum min aslam. So some people of the Aslam tribe came to me and they said, so strange. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu offended you and then he threatens to report you to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rabi'ah radiallahu anhu said, and this is where our youth need to learn seniority. We need to understand and be cognizant of a person's profile and position. Rabi'ah radiallahu anhu told the people, do you know who is this? Go from here quickly, this is Abu Bakr. Let him not see that you are aiding me, lest he becomes angry with you.
فيأتي رسول الله فيغضب لغضبه فيغضب الله لغضبه ما فيهلك ربيعا. This is Abu Bakr. If he becomes angry with me, then the Nabi of Allah will become angry because of his anger. And then Allah will become angry because of Nabi alayhi salam and Abu Bakr, and then who will rescue me? So leave me and go. So he comes to Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. Nabi salam said, what happened, O Rabi'ah, between you and Abu Bakr? He said, O Nabi of Allah, we had a bit of an argument, and Abu Bakr Rabi Allah said a bit of a harsh word to me. So Sahaba were human, they erred, but they wanted to patch it up immediately. You see, people who are physical fit, if a man eats slightly extra calories today, he's burning a point of jump. Immediately, like, relax, brother. You must cheat some things. No. I've seen it. I've seen this kind of obsessions and passions in people. If he ate one pie more, or he ate X amount of bread, reading that whole thing, breaking it down to bite sizes, if he ate 2 calories or 10 calories or 20 calories, he's burning that fat more. He needs to instantly flush that out. And today here people are playing with semantics. Once I was in London for a program and there was a hotel, the newspaper was there. So they said obesity is killing people, right? And it's a silent disease and it's killing. So the doctors are saying, why is obesity killing people so much today? Because we are referring to it in a very diplomatic and a euphemistic way. It almost sounds like a medical syndrome. They say we need to start being more harsh and crude and brutal, and not saying you're obese, you say you're fat. That was the article. Okay. It makes a difference. Can I have a double cheesy burger and a Diet Coke, please? Can I have a double cheesy burger, Diet Coke, please? I'm on this diet, yeah. Double cheesy burger, Diet Coke, please. Where are we going? What a world. Just goes on and on. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ said, oh Rabi'ah, you did the right thing. Don't retort and say the same thing, but say rather, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ أَوْ أَبُو بَكْرٍ May Allah forgive you, may Allah forgive you. The last incident, complete, wholesome package. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes in hijrah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is an amazing journey. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes and says, أَخْلِجْ مَنْ عِنْدَكَ Abu Bakr, whoever is here, tell them to leave. إِنَّهُمَا إِبْنَ دَيَا O Nabi of Allah, they are my two daughters. Okay, Abu Bakr Allah has told me to make hijrah, and you are to accompany me. Abu Bakr starts crying radiallahu anhu. Aisha radiallahu anhu said, that's the first time in my life I've seen tears of joy. I knew you could cry out of pain. I never knew you could cry out of happiness. But that day I see my father crying out of happiness. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leaves with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Qahaba is not a Muslim. He becomes a Muslim at the time of the conquest of Makkah. We know the incident. So Abu Qahaba is not a Muslim. He comes there. And he tells, the narration is Sirat ibn Hisham. He tells his granddaughter Asma. Abu Quhafa is 83, he's visually impaired, he's blind. He tells his granddaughter Asma, where's your dad? So he says, no, he's gone. Oh, again, he's ditched you and launched you and abandoned you. He's gone with his companion Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not a Muslim, so he cannot identify. And I think again, he's left no money for you people, he's just abandoned. Sayyidina Abu Bakr had 5,000 dirhams. One narration 5, one narration 6,000. He took all his money with him. Now look at the granddaughter, and look at the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Look at the tarbiyah, look at the house environment. Look at the house environment. How often you see the husband is, mashallah, clad well, the mother is in good sunnah and everything. And then you look at the son and you think like, okay, now, alright, okay, yeah, alright. There's a black sheep in every family. And I often say, if a boy is on hidayat and guidance, it's easier for him to influence his parents on hidayat than if the parents are on hidayat for them to influence the children on hidayat. When a child has hidayat, then the chances are stronger he'll bring his parents onto guidance than when the parents are on guidance to bring the child onto hidayat. And where do I draw this view from? وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنِ فَخَشِينَا أَنْ يُرْهِقَهُمَا طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا فَأَرَدْنَا أَنْ يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِنْهُ زَكَاةً وَأَقْرَبَ رَحْمًا The child was playing with the children, and Allah told Khidr, take his soul. And then Khidr alayhi salam told Musa the wisdom that this child was a beautiful, innocent, adorable child. You know, like one scholar says, he says, when the children are small, then you say, Iklam bitta and take a khayla. He's so sweet, you want to eat him up. And then when he grows up, you say, I wish I hated him. When he's small, he's so sweet, he's lovable, he's adorable. And then when he grows up, he evolves to a monster. He becomes a monster. Aggressive, harsh, arrogant, obstinate attitude. And I've spoken to youth, and I cannot tell you, I'm inundated. Parents follow me, they cry their hearts out. Please, when you speak to my son, he listens to your thoughts. Probably his life will change. And I'm like, please, my young boy, please, my young boy. Asma radiallahu anha, look at her intelligence, look at her wisdom. She brings her grandfather, she takes pebbles, she puts it in a bag, she devises a plan, and then she covers it. Rattat alayhi tawba, she covers a cloth. She brings her grandfather, and then she says, now take your hand and put it on here. He feels the pebbles, assuming it to be coins. And he says, my father has left for us, taraka lana khayran kathira, the narration of Sayyidat ibn Hisham. My father has left for us a lot of khayr. The word khayr in Arabic is ambiguous. It can mean virtue and money. She didn't speak a lie. He used the word khayr denoting money. She used the same word khayr denoting goodness. So what we refer to as tawriya. Tawriya means when you use a particular phrase and it has dual meanings, the person might be thinking one meaning and you have another meaning. And she said, in this way I appeased my grandfather, but I swear by Allah, my father had not left behind a dime at home. The last incident, just briefly, the ummah needs today maturity, responsibility. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the throes of death, and there was this panic and there was this uneasiness, it was Abu Bakr who came forward, lifted the blessed cloth, kissed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Listen, if you were worshipping Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the truth be told, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. How often I've been invited by a family to come to a clinic where the father is on the ventilator and they need to withdraw, and now there's confusion and there's two opinions and people are crying, and rightfully so. But nobody wants to take on a position of responsibility. Somebody needs to come forward. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, at the most critical, delicate, intricate juncture of this ummah, he came forward and he rescued the ummah. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, Wallahi laqad nazala bi abi ma law nazala bil jibal ar-rasiyati laha dhaha. Such a challenge came on my father at the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, that if that challenge had to come on the mountains of the world, even the mountains would have caved in. But my father had broad shoulders. My father had broad shoulders. He had vision and he had fortitude. He told Usama bin Zayd, you will go. Usama is mounted. He's 17 years old, radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr is walking. Usama radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet of Allah, O Khalifa Rasulullah, mount on or let me dismount. He said, you will remain mounted and I will walk and your expedition will go out. Such was the composure. We need people who are responsible. We need that. There's chaos, there's bickering, there's arguments. Now, if I become petty, you come in a house, your wife, your mother has an argument. Are you also going to be petty? No, you need broad shoulders. You need to listen to both. Okay, okay, okay. I understand. And carry on. What can you do? As a man, you need broad shoulders. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to try to improve in every aspect of our life. Don't really be like complacent with one. You know, happy with that one thing. I recite so much Quran, I'm happy with it. Other things I fall short, and we just, you know, settle on it. So may Allah instill and infuse and imbibe within us that zeal, that passion, that drive to excel in all spheres of life. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله على نيته وسره. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم فصل وسلم وبارك وزد وتحنن وترحم على حبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.
اللهم تقبل صيامنا وصلاتنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا وتقبل منا صالح أعمالنا وجعلنا من المقبولين في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان عليك البلاغ، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.